This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, inside of our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently on a busy Thursday. Got week 7 tonight. I can't imagine you have a whole lot of fantasy performers in this game. And if you do, you're probably not off to a good start in fantasy. Just saying. You're probably like 1-5 or be 1-5 or 2-4-ish, maybe 3-3. But you got the Cards. I do want to see Rosen fling it around a lot. And I'll be locked into that a little bit. The Broncos and the Cards, obviously. Two coaches that right now are... Wilkes obviously is not on rough footing. It's his first year, but let's face it, Vance Joseph, it's just a matter of time, it looks like, before they move on.
Especially if they keep underperforming defensively. And BT talked about this on Tops over the weekend. They've given up 200-yard rusher 2 weeks in a row and almost 600 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The ground.
Isaiah Crowell was one of them. It's not like it was Todd Gurley.
But think about team rushing. Well, I mean, Isaiah Crowell went for 201 or 208 or whatever it was.
Jets record.
Todd Gurley. Exactly. Maybe it was 209. Todd Gurley goes for 208 the next week. Mm-hmm. But outside of those two guys, they still gave up 100 or 200 or so extra more yards on the ground. They've been bad defensively for a team that has been really good defensively for the last couple of years.
So that's tonight. Obviously, hoops, baseball tonight. Love Verlander.
By the way, my fantasy team is crushing it this
What's
year.
What's your record?
5-1 in the newsroom.
5-1 in the news? But hold on a second.
5-1.
What is the entry fee for this thing? I asked you this once before.
It's $100, right?
Oh, is it really?
Maybe it's 20. No, see, I don't know.
What do you mean? How do you not know?
I don't even remember.
Maybe. And he said it with such confidence. It's $100. And I see Samter saying, no, it's not. I think it was 25.
Maybe it
Why
was.
Would anybody waste their time with a $25 fantasy league?
Oh, my other.
Why?
I don't think it was 25. I think it was either 50 or 100.
Oh, that's cool. Mike, do you know?
My other league I'm getting crushed in, though. 2-4. I'm bad.
How about Samter? What's the entry fee?
As far as I remember, it's 25. Maybe it's 50. But for us, it's about bragging rights. It's not about money.
Well, I'm bragging.
It's about money.
I'm bragging. And I already
you brag when you win the money.
I already beat you, Samter, so I'm
there.
Dude, my roster is
right?
Great. My team sucks.
real quick, give me a team.
My roster is great. My team sucks.
Give me a team. So your coaching is not good is what you're saying. Your roster is good, but your team's not good. So you're really impugning your coaching ability, Mike. That's what you just did.
Yes.
You're saying you have a good roster, but you're not
winning. Who's underperforming on your team? Or is it you're just
Odell Beckham?
You're keeping the guys on the bench.
Freeman's been hurt. Marlon Mack's been hurt.
Yeah, but that's rough.
T.Y. Hilton's been hurt.
That's rough.
I have Philip Lindsay, Johnson, LeSean McCoy, Jarvis Landry. I mean, I got a very good team.
Everyone's hurt. You have injuries.
Burkhead's on the IR. Marshawn Lynch has been on and off.
I haven't heard any stars in that group, though, to be fair.
Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, T.Y. Hilton.
Landry doesn't score touchdowns.
True.
He doesn't.
He never has, actually.
He never has. Who, give me your roster real quick in this league.
In the newsroom league. In the newsroom league, I start Phillip Rivers at quarterback.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
Okay.
Ryan Grant. Actually, he was in because Golden Tate was out. So Golden Tate usually.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey.
Nice.
I don't have a second running back. That's the only problem.
That's a big problem.
Oh, no, I do. Alvin Kamara. But Duke Johnson.
He's the best guy in the league, basically.
Duke Johnson.
Wait, he's your second running back? Yeah. He's your first running back.
Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara. He's out because I got to put him back in.
Because he's coming off the bye.
He had a bye week last week, so I got to put him back in.
You got to make sure you don't forget that stuff.
That's why I'm doing it right now.
I know. Juggled all these things, right?
My flex guy was Duke Johnson. I need another running back. So, I mean, once you pick
up my roster is better than his roster.
It sounds better. Mike, how many teams?
Njoku was my tight end.
Njoku. How many teams are in the league? 10?
There are 12.
there's 12. All right, that's why there's the rosters are stretched a little thin. If it was a 10-team league, I wouldn't be too impressed with either roster. But 12 teams, that's, you know, that's an acknowledgement. It's hard when you know when you have 12 teams.
Yeah.
You're not going to all have stars.
You're not going to fall into stars.
Exactly. All right. Although I do have Mahomes. There you go. My team's nice this year. I'm going to win some money. Off to a 4-2 start.
Oh, nice.
Let me just see what I got here real quick. Then we'll do the Chargers. Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, McCaffrey, Mike Evans.
Oh, dude. You're good.
T.Y. Hilton, Will Fuller's banged up. Calvin Ridley's banged up. I got Marshawn Lynch banged up. I don't know. I might drop him. Got Mike Williams starting this week. Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, because they're tanking. That's why.
Uh-huh. Tevin Coleman, who's now going to get more touches with Freeman out for the year, or at least for a while. Vikings defense, which until recently has not really done much. And my boy Jason Myers from Marist.
Nice.
Kicker, 30 points last week.
Maybe I have to pick
30.
Up. Maybe I have to pick him up.
Yeah, give you a little Marist mojo.
Yeah.
All right, Teak. The Chargers, this is frightening how off they were in their initial Inglewood revenue assessment here. Their goal was $400 million. All right, their initial goal, they've already revised that down to $150 million.
Yeah, that's bad.
Now, no disrespect. Like, if this was MLS or a fledgling league or, you know, maybe even an overly aggressive NHL team. All right, 400 down to 150, you'd be like, wow, that's a terrible business model. I would never have envisioned that precipitous of a drop.
No.
In a year.
In a year.
In LA with football.
Well, part of this, and I don't know if they, I think their initial logic was just flawed. Because think of, they're playing in the StubHub Center, and they're playing in the StubHub Center until 2020 when they become a tenant to the Rams.
Yep. We know whose stadium that is, by the way.
Exactly.
It's Kroenke's.
And so it's the revenue projections for a 30,000-seat stadium that they don't fill.
They fill, but there's just 17 or 18,000 Eagle fans.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it's the other team. Yeah.
But they still got to pay, so they're still going to make the money.
True.
Like when the Chiefs played their opening day.
But I'm trying to think how that revenue works. You know what I mean? Because they're leasing the state. They're leasing it, obviously.
They might have to give a cut to the soccer. So that I don't know.
It's just weird, to think about that they're going to project all this money when they don't own a 70,000-plus seat stadium. It just didn't make a ton of sense. You couple in the fact that there is no fan base, as we mentioned earlier. The San Diego Charger fans have abandoned them. I mean, maybe they still watch, but they're not going.
I wouldn't.
They're not buying the gear.
I wouldn't.
Doing all that stuff. In fact, the old Chargers.
I wear my Junior Seau jersey, my Dan Fouts jersey.
Yeah. The powder blue sweet. LaDainian Tomlinson jersey that I got Tracy when we met when he came to the Jets. I got Tracy a powder blue LaDainian jersey.
Those are among the coolest uniforms in the history of sports.
And LaDainian he's awesome.
And Junior Seau looks so good in that uniform.
Absolutely, it did.
Man,
their owner just
peace.
Passed away. I mean, he rest in peace, obviously. But there's talk out there that the family, the heirs, are trying to sell the team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like there's no mojo there other than Phillip Rivers, who's having an unbelievable season. Melvin Gordon's going to be in line to make a ton of money because he's having a great season as well. Mm-hmm. He's on his fifth-year option coming up next year. But, like, there's a couple of stars, but eventually Phillip Rivers is going to age out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And what's left and what's exciting about being the second-tier team in Los Angeles because the Rams are crushing it.
Nothing.
And spending money. They got young talent.
Yeah.
They got superstars. They got names all across the team.
Yeah.
We just talked about we know their offensive line.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. And a vibrant young coach.
I
Stifler.
So, exactly. They can't compete in L.A.
Although I like L.A. Chargers. I like their coaches. I like their coach.
Too.
But McVay just now again.
Yeah,
maybe
not...
McVay's not doing high fives if he's not beating the crap out of everybody. I mean. That team allows you to have a certain energy based on their skill,
but also,
I think he's naturally energetic.
And he's a football man. He's been around it forever. He's going back to his grandfather, Sean McVay, and he's a genius. He's a savant in game planning and designing
plays. Yeah, they've talked
about
this. So he's got a photographic memory.
Exactly.
But you opened up an area that I think we need to circle back to here. And what's most disconcerting, if I'm the NFL, the other owners, and obviously the Chargers, we put up basically 30 points every week. We have a Hall of Fame quarterback who, unlike Eli, who's pretty much finished, you know, and Big Ben is still
thriving.
Very good.
Yeah.
He's still plowing the ball downfield, putting up points. You got to get Bosa back. That's an energy that they miss for sure. But they're a good team, good team,
no doubt,
who scores a lot of points, and there's still no real electricity or energy. What happens when Rivers retires, because it's going to happen, and they go through that, unless it's serendipitous like the Colts with Peyton and Andrew Luck, they're probably going to take 3 years maybe to find the guy, and hopefully there might be 30 years before that guy's ever as good as Phillip Rivers. So, like, what happens when they actually go through the malaise that's going to happen?
Yeah.
That does anybody watch?
Yeah, when they're a 4-12 team.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Or struggling below just to get the 500. Nobody's going to go see them play.
No.
And especially if they're the tenant, you know, of another team. Because in 2020, they become the Rams tenant in that stadium. So, I mean, there'll be some sort of revenue share. Who knows? But the NFL has got to be really concerned about this. Now, this came up because of the owners' meetings last Tuesday, and it was not a two days ago.
Gotcha.
It wasn't a formal discussion. Like, hey, man, we got a problem here. But it was a theme that was just permeating the industry. And why do the other owners care? Because it's all their money.
Absolutely,
they pool their money, and it's going to come to a head at some point, BT, and they're going to have to make a decision. Now, a lot of people are saying that decision could be team's got to go to London.
Open this. You found an article. Who is this? This is
Wickersham
from ESPN.
ESPN. Who?
What's he propose here?
He's proposing. He said, "You heard it here first.
Okay.
The Chargers move to London.
Okay.
So they become part of the NFC East. The AFC East.
Okay. So the London Chargers go to the AFC East. Yep. Where do they dump Miami out?
Miami gets south. Dumped. Goes to this, obviously. Miami, makes sense, right?
And you got to get rid of somebody.
And then the Texans, who were middle of the country, they go to the West.
The Colts are still kind of middle of the country, too.
True.
I mean, what's the more logical dumping for a South team to the, like?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I would say Indy.
I would
be better West.
Perceptually, I don't know if it's actually based on mileage and all that geographical stuff.
Yeah, because Texas is the South. I mean, this is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's funny. It depends where you grew up. Like, growing up in New York, to me, the South is Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky, the Carolinas.
Yeah,
but
literally on a map.
No, I understand that. I know. But I've always viewed
especially,
it through my new...
Especially
I got
Houston,
it. I hear you.
Which
trust
is, which
me.
Is south
I love geography. I know. Yeah. I hear you. But it's just... I computed a little differently from where I grew up.
You know, because it's interesting because we've been talking about that London team.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We've been saying that.
Because Shad Khan owns now Wembley Stadium, so he's got an asset there that he could utilize, and it would make sense. So the question is, would the NFL take a team from the West Coast and move it across the pond? Because it almost... would be abandoned over there in a sense because you have to think about rebuilding.
Who would be abandoned? What do you mean?
There's no fans. You know what?
There's no fans in London or for the LA Chargers.
And there's no fans in London. And so it's just this
true,
this
but there's
orphan
no fans
team.
Of the Chargers either. So
I
you
mean, there's
would
Charger fans, they just didn't come with them.
They're not being heard. Yeah. I would rather take my chance on almost like,
and that's my question.
Indoctrinating.
And that's
like,
my question.
Here's your team.
That's my question.
Latch onto it. Come to the game.
What's the better play for the National Football League?
London Chargers.
Try to make it work in Los Angeles against a Rams team that's bludgeoning you right now and is going to be better than you.
No,
even though they're different conferences. Or you know what? Let's try it over there.
No. That's not the answer. And the answer is put them in London. And then eventually the Raiders will become really good, I think. Could be a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the Raiders now are in Nevada. And now, you know, eventually the Niners, when Jimmy, I know that's Northern California, it's totally different.
Yep.
But there's almost an oversaturation. And you've got to remove it. Listen, if I'm running the NFL, I am not taking a chance of trying to inject passion into a fan base that has given me no evidence that they want it.
Yeah.
I'll at least throw a line in the water in London and say, you know what? We put games here. And I'm not a big London guy. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least pertaining to the NFL, but an expansion. But when you look at the, you know, when you're just practical about this, the better business model is the London Chargers. It truly is. It's not
agree.
Even debatable.
I would agree. Because they're not making money. They're not going
to
make money.
They're going to drown in L.A. The L.A. Chargers are going to die. And they can't afford that look perceptually.
Yeah.
They've got to be proactive, not reactive.
If you miss this number, $400 million projection written down, basically, to $150
million. This isn't a $20 or $30 million adjustment.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is us saying, or them saying, we're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, we have no chance.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that I saw that number today. I know your business mind kicks in when you see this stuff. I'm like, I got to bring this up to Tiki because that's
failing business, dude. That's a failing business.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
I mean, that's like coming out with a new pair of sneakers and putting them on the market for
$500.
I was bothered about
repricing them to $200.
I was going to say $149, and then within two or three months they're in Kmart, and Kmart's got Walmart, great value, 100%. I mean, we shop there whenever we got to get to, I got no
my
problem
whole
with
upbringing.
It. But it's $29 in Kmart, and you had it initially marked at $149. You're hemorrhaging money. Not sustainable. Not good. All right, T, coming up. Santa, what game does Ian have? I know he's got the Broncos and the Cards tonight. What does the Birdman have? Do you know?
He actually doesn't have the game tonight because the NBA season started yesterday.
Oh, that's
he was
right.
doing
that's
Nets.
Right. The Nets, that's right.
So he is saved from Broncos Cardinals tonight.
Spared.
But he is doing, again, one of the top games of the weekend, Pats Bears.
Oh, he's got the Pats Bears game.
That's awesome.
Boy, Brady's going to get popped in that game. Those old bones. I know he's the GOAT, but he's going to get hit. And we'll talk about that game coming up next. Ian Eagle, look forward to it. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Are you ready for the cold winter months ahead? Winter can present many challenges for your vehicle. There are a lot of things to do when winterizing your car. Do you have enough antifreeze? Check. Tire pressure? Check. Wiper blades and fluids? Check. Heaters and defrosters working properly? Check. Do you have emergency road supplies? Check. You should also have lubricants ready for latches, hinges, door locks, and weather stripping. But what's the one thing you don't want to forget about? Your battery. Very cold vehicles can reduce battery power by up to 50%. And when it's cold, your engine needs more current from the battery to get started. Remember, car batteries give very little notice before they die, and one out of four batteries will fail this winter. That is a given. Make sure it's not yours. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery exactly for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, 23 minutes past the hour. Good Thursday. A lot of different topics, which have been really fun. The baseball stuff from last night, Benintendi's play, the play at the wall on Altuve's bomb, LeBron tonight. Mm-hmm. The London Chargers thing is really interesting, so been all over the map, but it's been good stuff. And, Teague, we got a chance to do this every week. Thursday Night Football Preview, brought to you by the new 2018 Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. And he helps us preview tonight's game. The voice of TNF, although he's not on the game tonight because he's got hoops. Must be nice. Do I call an NFL game or do I call an NBA game? Let's see. The Birdman, Ian Eagle, is back, but he does have the Bears and the Pats coming up this weekend in Chicago. What up, Ian? How are you today?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
I got to tell you, you too, by the way. The reaction that I got from our weird U-turn into WWF Stratosphere last week, I can't tell you how many tweets and texts I got about that. It was awesome.
The rabbit hole.
Yeah, it was a lengthy rabbit hole, but it was good. So you're not doing the game tonight. I know you're cutting up film. I know you're getting ready for the Bears and the Pats, and I know you're also aware of what Belichick said about Lawrence Taylor. And, hey, listen, let's not compare anybody to number 56 is basically what he said. You agree with that? You've seen enough football to have a strong opinion. Can anybody be compared to Lawrence Taylor, specifically Khalil Mack?
Yeah, look, Khalil Mack is a game wrecker, and I've done a few games where he's – just taken over. As a member of the Raiders, they couldn't stop him, and he had four sacks one game that I worked, and he looked like a dominant force. With that said, no, he's not in that classification. It's not even fair to put him in that category right now. But in today's day and age of hype and highlights being shown over and over again on various outlets, you can get pumped up. You can get the idea out there that someone is on a greatness level that probably isn't quite deserved right now. LT was in a class of his own. I'm going to go with Belichick on this one. Yeah, I think we just like comparisons. That's what we do in sports. We like to compare eras and generations. but this one is not worthy.
Well, okay, fair enough. But then I guess, in essence, what Belichick's saying and what you're reiterating is that nobody can ever be compared to Lawrence Taylor, because I've never seen...
Well, the game is different.
I understand for sure.
And that's why.
And maybe that's the answer. But I haven't seen somebody like Khalil Mack in a while. So until somebody comes along better than Khalil Mack, and maybe that doesn't happen for 10, 12, 15 years, are you saying that Lawrence Taylor's untouchable forever?
Well, what I'm saying is that you have to sustain it. So it can't just be a five-year, six-year burst. It has to be done probably over a 10, 12-year period. I think championships come into play. Did you revolutionize the game, which LT did?
Yeah.
He changed the way that opposing offensive coordinators had to worry about defensive players lining up all over the field, hand down, dropping back, didn't know which angle he was coming from, making stuff up on the fly at times, where I think he went rogue.
Yeah.
And they had a game plan in mind, but LT saw something else and took advantage of it. So I don't want to say never. You know, I thought Michael Jordan would be the greatest ever, called a bunch of his games, called a bunch of the NBA championship series on the world feed. I'm huge in Indonesia. I can't walk the streets without a mob scene. But I've now seen LeBron James, and I must say, spanning the broadcast career, I've been blown away by him, and he's captured my imagination. So, no, I wouldn't say never. I just wouldn't put Khalil Mack in there just yet.
Yeah, okay. No, it was Harry Carson and Carl Banks who would cover up for LT when he would go rogue and do crazy things.
Yeah.
But LT could also, in games like the Detroit game, I forget what year that was, 84, 5 or something like that, where he basically won it himself. Sack, blocked the field goal, returned an interception for a touchdown. It was the only points that the Giants scored.
But yeah, one little story here. Years ago, I worked with Mike O'Korin on Nets Radio, one of the greatest guys.
Yeah, he is a good guy. Yeah.
Coach. Good
dude.
Coach with the Nets, coach with the Washington Wizards. So he told me a story. He was at North Carolina. He was a star. He was an All-American. They were playing pickup during the offseason, him and a bunch of guys on the basketball team. They're playing outdoors on a full-court hoop. And a guy walks over and says, "Hey, you know, I want to play." And they said, no, we're kind of practicing here. He's like, "No, I want to play." They're like, "Sorry, we're doing our own thing here." So the guy then runs over, jumps up on the opposite end, jumps on the rim, and rips it down, and then walks away with it. And everyone's looking at each other like, "What just happened?" That was a freshman, Lawrence Taylor, who wanted to join them.
Wow.
And they didn't know about LT just yet.
Yeah.
So that quickly became a half-court basketball.
What a great story.
And he also wanted to be a baseball player when he came out of high school.
Did he?
LT, yeah. Yeah, he was
ridiculous.
What, did he rip down the dugout when they didn't let him play? I mean, that's an incredible story. I've never heard that.
That's a great story.
That's good.
Though. You know, since we're previewing the Thursday night game, what can you identify as wrong with Denver? Like, their defense. I mean, we know what's happened in offense. So you haven't got to go there, right? But defensively, I mean, I positioned them all season as being one of the best in the NFL. They were top five last year. They've given up almost 600 yards rushing and 200 rushers over the last couple of weeks. What's wrong with them?
Yeah, when we met with them a couple of weeks ago, we had that Denver Jets game, and they were still at a point coming off that Kansas City game where there was a shred of confidence. They felt they should have won that game. Obviously, we know they got Mahomes in that game. And now it's evident that there's been a carryover. They've lost whatever positive feelings they had. And now I think there are a bunch of people that are coaching for their job, potentially playing for their job. John Elway is a no-nonsense guy. There are some concerns in the secondary. Bradley Roby has not worked out as the starting corner. Very confident guy that felt he should have gotten the starting job years earlier, but they had Aqib Talib there. And Roby was very much positive in talking about Talib and the role that he played in his career. But he has not handled the primetime role well. Safeties have been okay, Stewart and Simmons. Linebackers not making the kind of plays that they've made in the past. Bradley Chubb at times has looked miscast. There have been times where he's looked good as well, and I think he's going to be a very good player. Miller's production is down, and I just think there's frustration. You heard it from Derek Wolfe. That's real. That's happening in that locker room right now, that it's not moving the way that they expected. And even when you still hear Wade Phillips' name come up in conversation, that's not a good sign.
No, you're right.
That means they're hearkening back to days of 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they were thought of as elite. They're not anymore.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Right.
You know, and on the other side of this game, if you're Mike McCoy, and he may be short for the job as offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, as we're starting to hear little things trickle out, what do you do with Josh Rosen right now? What are you trying to accomplish if you're Mike McCoy? Probably to save your job, but also just advance this kid.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I have this Bears game coming up, and just watching their tape compared to a year ago. I had them week 7 last year. I have them week 7 this year. They beat Carolina last year. It was really a defensive game where they got a bunch of turnovers. That's when, if you remember with Carolina, Cam Newton was dealing with some stuff with the media. It was not a good time. And I thought the Bears really took advantage of that. Eddie Jackson was tremendous. But they were not a very good offensive team.
Yeah.
And you could see that Trubisky, as a young player, was trying to figure it out. Fast forward 1 year, and with Nagy taking over, this is a reminder of what coaching can do for a young QB. Trubisky, to me, looks like a different guy. I'm not saying that he's got star written all over him. He's going to have a 7-time Pro Bowl career. I'm not ready to say that. But what I do see is now an NFL quarterback. And that, if I was Arizona, that's what I would be gunning for, getting Josh Rosen to a point where he's comfortable. The problem for them is if McCoy is not going to be part of this thing moving forward, it's almost handcuffing you in a way that you're teaching him some things that may not be part of his principles in year 2 and year 3 and year 4. So this is where you get into a dicey area with a young QB and who's tutoring him and who's mentoring him and who's whispering in his ear. You better be sure that you believe in this coaching staff with this young guy, because you're going to set some things in motion that could stick with him for 2 or 3 years.
All right. Listen, Birdman, I got a little request for you, and admittedly, it's a very selfish one. It's all about us. I'm not even going to try to hide the fact. You ready? It's all about us. The request is simple. How long? We did this last year with you. We're 7 weeks into doing it this year. We'll do it for the duration of the season, hopefully do it next year as well. What is it going to take for me to sit on my couch and me hear when and you turn to Fouts? Because let's face it, you guys go all over the map and talk about everything. When are you going to say, hey, by the way, you know, I was on with my buddies Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio, simulcast on CBS Sports Network, and we were debating this. Like, at what point will I hear our name during a broadcast out of your mouth?
This week. I mean, it's like Casey Kasem.
Nice.
You put a request in.
Hey, listen.
We use it on the air. It's really not that hard. It's pretty straightforward.
I'm going to hold you to it. We've got the CBS corporate synergy. We're on the same team, brother. We've had some good dialogue, some good debates. Get into the Lawrence Taylor, Khalil Mack thing and throw a nice bone to your boys on Tiki and Tierney, okay?
I like this.
All right.
I think I can make this happen. Now, that's going to be my focal point. I have a board where I have topics that I may
cover. I know what you do. Yeah.
It goes to the top.
Nice.
It's now number one. I'm not going to be able to sleep for the next 3 nights thinking about this, pondering this.
Okay.
Love it.
Hey, I'm going to be a listener, Bert. Don't trust me. Don't think that
you
I'm not.
You might have to record the game.
I know
just
you
in case.
Will.
Thanks, buddy. Good stuff. Have a great call. It should be a lot of fun. A pretty revealing game, too. We're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, excited about it. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, buddy. See you later. There he is. He's got to ask. You think he does it?
Of course he does it.
I think he
like
does
last
too.
Year when I got us on.
Yeah, you were waiting till the last drive of the game. I'm like, come on, T.
It was the last drive. It was like
it was close. It was
like,
you got it in.
It was the early fourth quarter.
I'm not going to pick. Yeah. I'm not going to nitpick. You got it in. Yep. You definitely dropped in the references, no doubt. I think he's going to do it as well. I think we're going to hear it, and we'll clip it. We'll have a little fun with it. That'll be part of his open.
Nice.
There you go.
I didn't think of it like that. That's smart.
Exactly. Find out which O-line's the Bill Fortov Offensive Line of the Week, brought to you by the Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar. It is the bar. We've got the blast coming up. Axe update right now. Here's Smackerman.
Looking for a podcast? Check out mine, Tiki's Barbershop, presented by Geico. Great news. A quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
All right, Tiki, CBS, the Super Bowl season continues Sunday with a triple header. First up, live from London, it's the Chargers. Now, well, it actually is the Chargers, but it's the Tennessee Titans and the L.A. Chargers. So, from there, we get Tom Brady and the Pats coming off a big win over Kansas City, colliding with Khalil Mack and the Bears. And we will wait to hear Tiki and Tierney reference from the broadcast from our buddy Ian Eagle. He's on that game, followed by a big NFC showdown between the boys and the Redskins. That one's going to be big. Big up with the NFL today, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. Early start with the London game and start your full day of football on CBS. So you got JB, Coach, Booms, Phil, Nate Dogg, Jason Lock and Ford dropping his nuggets throughout the broadcast. Great stuff. We get ready for week 7 around the NFL. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Dave's been on hold for a little bit. Got a chance to get some calls. He wanted to weigh in on the fan interference. I believe Dave is in Minnesota. Dave, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
Actually, I'm in Arizona.
Arizona.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Dave.
Okay, on the interference.
Yes.
I've got a scenario for you guys,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to see what your call is. You're the referee. Basketball game. Team A shoots the ball, hits the rim, comes down, hits the floor, and is going out of bounds in the air.
Okay.
Team B player jumping in the air, we've all seen it, where he grabs the ball in the air and throws it back on the court to one of his players.
Yep, happens all the time.
Yep.
Okay, fan interference. Just before he touches the ball to throw it back in, a fan tips it away from him. What do we got?
I would say it's probably out of bounds. Certainly not a fan interference because it is now invaded, for lack of a better description, Dave, the fan space.
Yes, and it's Team B's ball because Team A team A was the last one to touch it.
Good job following that part of the equation. Is that a suitable answer, Dave? Do you disagree?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
we're still in that same thing of, We all agree fan interference on the baseball game last night, but
no, I don't
disagreeing where the fan interference took place.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that's a big deal right there. So I'm saying if a fan interferes with a ball that a player is going to throw back into the, well, let's say he grabs it and throws it and a fan touches it so it doesn't even get back on the court.
Yeah. It's a lot to chew on there, Dave. That would be quite the quandary for the for the refs.
I hear you.
And we appreciate the creative aspect of the call. Thanks a lot there, Dave. There's another look at it. All right, it's funny. I jotted this down, and I almost forgot to do it. We'll get to the blast here in a sec. So I remember there was a play. It had to be 1982 because I remember how old I was and how young we were when we ran out of the house when this happened. My neighbor and myself at the same time. Like, did you see that, Tommy? Ken Griffey Sr., made a leap. Wow. It's on YouTube. You got to see this play at some point. You know, leapt over the left field wall where his elbow was hanging on the fence. One of the greatest catches I've ever seen at Yankee Stadium. That catch comes to mind. Dave Winfield did it a few times. Devon White, mm-hmm. who was a great fielder, great center fielder. Obviously, Griffey Jr. Let me ask you, so let's say if any of those guys I mentioned or anybody playing today, Mike Trout, whomever, they're running, boom, 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 boom. They use their spike, as players often do, to propel themselves and elevate themselves further up in the air.
Like Bo did,
yeah. Although he wasn't catching. He was just running. He was just showing off his athleticism. But say if Mike Trout spikes, plants himself, and thrusts himself into the crowd, like visibly, like, and it's not that impossible for this to happen, like 5 feet. Because Mookie Betts was right on top of the fans.
Yes.
And Mookie didn't use the spike. He just jumped high vertically.
Yes.
What if he would have jumped high and then toward the fans and suddenly he's now 3 feet, 4 feet into the stands and a fan knocks his glove shut?
Yeah.
Is it interference?
No.
Why not?
Because it crosses the wall of verticality that I was talking about.
But that's where we disagree because the ball, the projection of the ball and the direction of the ball and the arc of the ball crossed over into the fans.
Barely. I mean, and I don't know if it did or not.
Oh, I think it clearly did.
And this is why when BT and I talked about this earlier, you need to put, there needs to be a sensor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just tell us.
Sure.
And if it's crossed.
Or get rid of the front first row of seats. I know it's an economic thing for sure.
Right. But
then you have no problems.
You're right. But if you knew, and it'd be something, it'd be simple to ascertain, right? Did that interference, because the fan definitely hit Mookie Betts' glove.
Oh, I don't dispute that.
No disputing
that. Of course, everybody sees that.
But if that happened inside the field of play, it's interference. If it happened out in the fan area,
his domain,
it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
So all you
what we're debating is whether or not it was in his domain or still the domain of the player.
That's what we disagree on. It's so tight.
On.
But I'm saying technology would solve this for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it would. It would.
And so you could go look at the replay and have the technology that says, that's in the stands, not interference.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be easy.
Like an infrared,
seriously. It's like, what do they call it in tennis?
It draws the line.
Hawkeye. Like the Hawkeye in tennis. Like it projects where the ball is.
Mm-hmm.
We would know right away. You wouldn't even have to look at the replay.
Not that hard. It's not that hard. All right, T, you ready to blast away real quick?
Let's go.
Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki. So Ryan Tannehill said to miss at least another week, if not more. Time for the Dolphins to move on?
I'm going to say, yeah, I think it is, actually. Mm. You got to start thinking about this. That's why they got to find out what Brock Osweiler is. As much as I hate saying that, they got to find out. I mean, he may be, he thrived last week in Adam Gase's system.
He did. He played very well.
But Daniel's getting injury prone, man.
I know. Listen, I'm not going to give him a boatload of money, but I'm at the 2 yard line of my evaluation period before I punch it in and move on from Ryan Tannehill.
How long have we been saying that, though?
I just want to see him a little more with Gase. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. Trust me, I get it. He's going to start again at some point this season.
Yeah, of course.
But I think they had their answer already. I'm not going to dispute you on that. Zeke dropping down the old must-win mantra. Quote says it's absolutely mandatory to beat the Skins this weekend. I like him taking that position. That boy, Zeke, is he right? Is this a must-win for the Cowboys? Well, I'm going to be Mr. Literal again here, literal man showing up. To me, when I hear the term, you know, must-win, there's a definitive repercussion that is attached to that if you don't win.
Yeah.
What's the repercussion here? You get a chance to go and win it week eight.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you're only a game and a half behind them. Like, so, no, it's not a must-win, but
it's
a big game.
It's not because they're 3-3. There's still time left in the season, obviously. And the Titans, Eagles, Falcons, Skins, Saints, not easy going forward. But there's some games that they start playing better that I think they can win. This is not a must-win, but they feel that way because of the rivalry nature and the fact that these are the 1-2 teams in the NFC East.
Certainly a tone setter. Which NBA rookie had the most impressive debut and which one had the most disappointing?
I'm going to say Mo Bamba.
He was very good. They won that game, too.
I know. He did. And surprise won that game against Miami Heat, who a lot of people position as a playoff quality team. But Mo Bamba, 13 points. He had 7 rebounds in 24 minutes. The least impressive to me was Miles Bridges. 1 point, 1 assist in 14 minutes. He just played terrible.
You know, a lot of these guys, that's a good question. Most impressive, I had Bamba, too, because he actually had 4 offensive rebounds as well. But I'll go with Ayton. Ayton put up nice numbers.
Oh, he was great.
A lot of the guys, like Wendell Carter didn't get a ton of run. He only played like 13 or 14 minutes, so that was disappointing. But I'll say Trae Young. You know, his shot selection, and I'm not surprised by this, is going to have to get infinitely better.
Right.
It was bad against the Knicks, who aren't a great team, although they played very well. Actually, they're not even a good team yet, although they look terrific. How about this? David Price on the mound for the Red Sox tonight. Career 2-9 with barely a sub-6 ERA in postseason starts. If he fails again, what should the Red Sox do?
Put him in the bullpen.
I wouldn't trust him there either. He seems to be the kind of guy where there's an element of fragility to his that creeps into his game that does not allow him to lean on his natural talents when the stage gets bigger. So I think the bullpen might be worse because he'd be out there thinking. My answer is you got to trot him out there and hope he opts out of his contract, which he won't. But you're paying him a lot of money, man.
That's all. BT, as the only answer. You just got to let him do his thing and have a quick hook.
I was going to have the short hook ready. All right. Insider says Gus Malzahn's job. We hit this yesterday a little bit. Malzahn's job at Auburn, not necessarily safe. Wow. Already. Man. Despite a new deal and $38 million on the buyout, is it time for the Tigers to move on?
No,
again, we can reset
out.
This from yesterday, but go ahead.
It's early. When they had they're faltering at the beginning of this season, 4-3 already. There's a little bit of lackluster performance at the end of last season in the Peach Bowl when they lost to UCF in that game. It was bad luck. They
didn't play well. They seemed disinterested.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And that's on the coach. But that's a big buyout. They can't move on. As much as they may want to, and there may be buyer's remorse, they can't move on.
I don't disagree. And we ran through the history. You know, they're not a doormat, but they're not Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to understand who they are and more importantly, who they want to be.
Yep.
And you got to give Gus Malzahn one more year.
I mean,
you have to. Because the era before him wasn't very impressive at all. There was a lot of 3-4-5 win seasons. Give him one more chance. I mean, to justify the contract. He might not be the guy. That seems incredibly reckless. I'd give him another year.
I agree.
Time's up. The Blast is over for another day.
Bulls and 76ers tonight. Heat and the Wizards tonight. Lakers and the Trailblazers tonight. You know, we didn't really talk about this on the air much, although I think you and I referenced this off air. I don't like what the 76ers are doing, starting Fultz to get for the start of the game.
No,
and
I
then
don't
having
like
J.J. Redick start the second half. What is that?
J.J. is such a great spacer. He's a leader out there. He's a he knocks down shots. Markel Fultz, you're kind of guessing what he's going to be. And most importantly, and we said this yesterday, BT, before this, or actually 2 days ago before their opening game, he doesn't shoot from three-point range. Neither does Ben Simmons.
No.
So you're starting the game basically crunching everything into the paint.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who's defending?
Well, it's like being a defensive coordinator, knowing a guy can't run by, hit the third level, and throw a 60-yard bomb.
That's right.
Less to protect against.
You're absolutely right.
That's a problem.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I think they should have let him. And I know why they got to do that, because he was the number one pick, you know, a year ago. And it's an experiment. I hope they don't stick with it, because they played poorly in game one against the Celtics. Celtics just looked significantly better against a team that we thought should be taking steps forward post process, because it's over now.
Yeah,
meaning the tanking part. They gotta build. They're not better than they were last year right now.
I don't see it either. It's also they played one game.
True.
But
Boston looked better than they were last year.
Boston is better. Boston is better than they were last year, and Boston is absolutely better than the 76ers.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean Kyrie's knee can't flare up with the screw like it did a year ago, and, you know, things can happen. It's a long grind, but all things considered, even. I mean, the Celtics, I think, are much better than the 76ers. I wouldn't even hesitate to say that.
Yeah.
Football Friday tomorrow, make our picks. I'm going to tell you right now, by the way, one of my college picks, I'm picking Michigan, laying the 7 against Michigan State. Telling you right now, that's how confident I am
in
Michigan.
Laying
the 7. Enjoy the game tonight. Take the point, lay the point. Who cares? It's the Cardinals and Broncos.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.